You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Freeway Phantom is available each week on Wednesdays. To hear each episode ad-free and 1 week early, check out Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com.
You're listening to Freeway Phantom, a production of iHeartRadio, Tenderfoot TV, and Black Bar Mitzvah. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the podcast author or individuals participating in the podcast and do not represent those of iHeartMedia, Tenderfoot TV, Black Bar Mitzvah, or their employees. This podcast also contains subject matter that may not be suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm just a guy who grew up in DC, saw a lot of things. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to do better. I wanted to help families. I know how it feels to be out there, you know, searching for your loved one. It's heartbreaking, especially when the little girls go missing and daddy looking for them and, you know, and mama looking for them. And, you know, they feel like the police ain't doing nothing. You know, what are y'all doing? Because they don't see anything. It's heartbreaking.
The homicide detectives termed the cases the little girl cases.
This child was laying on the side of the road.
I wouldn't go no way. I wouldn't come out my house.
Those first five murders should have been a huge warning bell for the police.
We just want to know what happened.
This person must have saw that they were thinking that maybe it's just one person. And he says, they need to know. This is me.
I thought that they would catch him. I thought it was just a matter of time.
I'm Celeste Headlee, and this is Freeway Phantom. In the early stages of our Freeway Phantom investigation, we consulted Henderson Long of DC's Missing Voice. Henderson helped us understand the systemic and regional issues that affected the Freeway Phantom investigations in the 1970s and current cases of missing and murdered children.
The foundation never changes with any kind of investigative work. The roots of it, what it's about, the core stuff, it'll never change.
As a DC native with deep roots in the community and years spent building relationships, Henderson is an invaluable source of support and expertise for the families who are searching for answers or coping with loss. For this bonus episode, we dig into his story to learn more about what led him to the work he does today and the hard-fought battle for change in DC's justice system.
Basically, what I do is I work right alongside with the lead detective that's working to find a missing person here in DC. I'm actually going behind him or sometimes ahead of him to interview witnesses, to do cell phone traces, to do surveillance, to take fingerprints and DNA and all this kind of stuff to make sure it's submitted. It's very rewarding. Whatever the case may be, whatever we're looking for, that's our number one objective, is to stay on that track to look for missing people. So what I'm learning about investigating cases, you have to have a certain character to do this work because it can be very frustrating. You have to kiss a little bit of behind sometimes to get the information you want.
Henderson's nonprofit works on missing persons cases in Washington, D.C., and he often acts as a liaison between the Metropolitan Police and Black communities. The work is hard, It's taken years of emotional and physical labor to establish the trust Henderson now enjoys. But this work is personal. It's directly connected to his upbringing in D.C. and tragedies within his family.
I was born in 1968, over in Southeast Washington, D.C., the Ward 8 sector of Washington, D.C. We all lived in a little one-bedroom apartment with my grandmother, my mother's mother, and my father got a good job, and we moved over to Ward 5, which is another northeast sector of D.C., and that's where I grew up. My father still lives in the same house. As a kid, I grew up in the crack era of D.C. I grew up here where crack had came into our communities in the 80s, and the late 70s is when it was starting. So as a kid, I got a chance to kind of see all that at a low level. You know, just from my eyes, seeing it, I never was involved in it, never got involved with nothing like that as far as no homicides or nothing. But I saw it. I saw my friends get involved. Growing up, I saw a lot of my friends who are dead now, or most of them are incarcerated. I just saw a lot of death here in D.C. I'm going to be quite frank and quite honest with you. It was a lot of violence here in D.C. trying to control the drug trade. Everybody wanted to get a piece of it. And as a result, we saw a rise in homicides. As a kid growing up, I got a chance to lose loved ones. I'm probably a 7-time loser. I've lost 7 or 8 people to homicide. And when I tell you, I seen violence, I saw it with my own eyes. I lost my kid, my oldest son, his mother was murdered by a 15-year-old back in 1992, 93. I know about death firsthand and violent crimes. I know how it feels for the community to have information on your homicide, but won't nobody come forward. So as a person, this kind of motivated me to do the work I'm doing and also being in the military.
Growing up surrounded by violence, Henderson wasn't always sure he would make it out. He thanks his father for emphasizing the importance of structure and discipline.
He was tough. My father was really tough. And he laid the law down in the house immediately after high school, after graduating. You know, my father told me I had to get out. I had to either go to work or I had to go to school. And I didn't really want to go to college, so I went in the military. And I did about 7 years, and I came back home. I got a chance to work with different people and meet different people and see the goodness in people. Because most people are good people, you know, for the most part. My main aspect of my story was the core was my father and my grandmother. They were at the core of me growing up. Because, you know, sometimes you need a man to tell a man how to be a man. And so my father was probably the biggest example that I had growing up. And the reason why I was able to make the decisions that I made.
Henderson decided he wanted to be that kind of example for his community, too. He eventually established DC's Missing Voice with a focus on finding missing and exploited persons, another issue that hits painfully close to home. In 1999, his aunt Aileen went missing.
My aunt was last seen September 15th, 1999. Family couldn't reach her. You know, they kept calling her and calling her and calling her with no answer. So we called, we got the rental office to do a wellness check. And when we got to the apartment, my little cousin was there in the apartment alone, Jerome, in his baby seat, because he was a baby at the time. And he was strapped in, he had been there for a couple of hours. And, you know, my family knew something was wrong. We called the police and the police got involved to no avail. We searched. And at the time, we weren't where we are now with missing persons in 1999. We didn't have social media like we have social media now. We didn't have some of the tools we have now. My family was, they just thought that the police was going to take care of it. The police, you know, the police got it. You rely on the police. Come to find out, a lot of things probably could have been done better by the police department. They never asked them for DNA. Never asked all this time. My family told me, look, don't talk about this no more. We're not getting no answers. Just don't talk about it. It was just so painful.
When Aileen went missing in the 90s, the federally funded database National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, or NAMIS, had not yet been established, and the Combined DNA Index System, or CODIS, was brand new. Henderson uses both systems in his work today. He says that had they been available earlier on, it could have saved his family years of pain and uncertainty.
We had three unidentified remains found here in D.C. And we just knew one of them probably was Aileen because it was in the same street that she would frequent. I told my family, you know, we got to get our DNA and if we're going to ever prove that that's her and get some kind of closure. Well, in the process, when we put our DNA in, we got a hit on a body that was found in 2000. So she had been in the morgue from 2000 to 2019 before she was identified. Now I'm gonna tell you about good detective work. My detective took a shot in the dark. He had some remains up there at the Maryland coroner's office that kind of fit the same description, height of her. He asked them, test those bones. Went and tested the bones, it turned up snake, it was her. So my family went through a lot of heartache because we didn't know about all the different technology that was available and what we should be using to solve her case. And they, quite frankly, didn't want to talk about it. They didn't even want to. This wound was so deep and so painful, it was still wide open. But we just ignored it. We still wanted answers. We was the more desperate for the answers. So they had to go ahead and they went on and they put their DNA in, they got a match, and then we convinced the son, Jerome, to put his in, and that was a real match. Then they were positive that it was her. And that's how we got the answers.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Even though Henderson found an answer to his aunt's mystery, his personal tragedies didn't end there. His niece went missing around 2012, and at that point, Henderson was fed up with the cycle of searching and waiting for answers. He decided to get involved with the investigation.
I had a niece, 12 years old. She kept running away from home. And, you know, the police were working on it. And, you know, they got 80 million kids that's missing. So I was out there on the ground talking with dope dealers. What was going through my head was, dang, this is what the police go through. And they probably go through it worse than what I'm seeing. She was missing off and on, should I say, about 3 or 4 years. She's 21 now. She's got 4 kids. But the trauma that she went through, the domestic violence, you know, leaving names out, the domestic violence and all that stuff that she went through, you know, they suffer. They suffer. It changed them.
After this, his mission was clear.
looking for her is what got me involved in this. I saw how hard it was for investigators to acquire and get information, to get information that they need to solve these cases. And it really drove me to do more and to want to do more to assist them. So I realized I had to learn more about the logistics of investigating cases. And I had to know, you got to know what you're doing. Because sometimes you really can mess up a case unintentionally. So I had to learn. I had to ask a lot of questions from sworn law enforcement officers that are investigators and sit down with them, talk with them. I had to do my own study and I had to go through various courses to learn how to do this in a professional manner and not just as a citizen.
Henderson began working part-time as a trace investigator. He now offers his services to families at no cost.
You don't want any money. This is all pro bono work I do. And all of the materials and stuff. Some of the stuff is from the police department. Some of it's from, but this, you do all this out of your own pocket because you know what it's like. I don't really want to work by contract because I don't want to charge no family to look for a missing person unless they are rich. They can pay, but nobody is test driving me. I'm doing this without funding.
Part of his work includes running platforms to publicize cases in D.C.
Platforms are important when it comes to missing people. I have D.C.'s Missing Voice and Missing and Explore the East of the River. Missing and Explore the East of the River gives focus to East of the River residents where they can just focus on their missing people. Because they hit me up and they told me, look, we're getting tired of hearing about all these missing people that's happened all over here. When we got the highest number of missing people east of the river. So I created that page to get more eyes on the street in that area. The more eyes you have, the more you can get that call in. Now, DC's Missing Voice is all of the missing people in DC. When you talk about an investigative tool, we're in the modern world now, and this internet is something. It can be very powerful. When you're doing these public inquiries, when you're asking the public, the Metropolitan Police Department is seeking the public's assistance locating so-and-so, so-and-so. 80 million people may see that. So that's now a public inquiry, and we get a lot of tips. We have a lot of tips that we follow up on. That's why we have them for the main reason. That's to promote and to publicize and to give MPD a greater reach in terms of audience to their missing people in Washington, D.C.
As we've talked about throughout the season, an investigation has many moving parts. It's complicated and constantly moving like a clockwork mechanism. Details can get lost or overlooked. Henderson wanted to get the best training he could to make sure he was on top of his game.
A guy named, last name is Palmer, in Great Britain, created a professional course for regular people to go through to learn how to operate within the private sector, to do trace investigation, all the necessary paperwork that you need to fill out. Like if you're my client, I need to know what paperwork to fill out because that's what separates the regular citizen from the private professional investigator. He has documentation. Meaning he has an intake form, he has a contract, he knows all the legal considerations when he's doing surveillance, so he doesn't violate anybody's constitutional rights. If you're out there investigating the case, and let's just say it's a case that there's criminal malice involved, you know the aspects of the law, you can protect that data from being disqualified and thrown out if you know what you're doing. You know, so certain things you have to know in terms of the legal considerations. And these are just some of the things you learn, how to properly interview people, what questions to ask, you know, the theory behind an interview. For example, when you go into, before you even go in the door, you got to have an objective. You got, if you want a confession, if you want to just build some rapport with them and hit them up back up later again, knowing all of this before you go in, it's a part of your preparation to be an investigator. You know, there's certain principles that we operate off of, you know, before we go in. We try to learn all these different things before we go and start formally interviewing people.
Much of Henderson's work as a trace investigator involves gathering information, and he's had to hone his skills in interviewing and note-taking, even organizing data.
You can't just jump out. These are some of the things you learn when you go through this certification. How to document your paperwork, you know, how to make sure it's in order, how to write up a report to submit to law enforcement. What's the fabric of it? What would that sworn officer need to have? What is he looking for? You're supposed to know the basic stuff so that it's something useful when it comes in. You learn all this going through this certification, and it's an international certification, meaning all of the trace investigators got together and they started compiling methods and stuff like that for the guy who may not be working in law enforcement, but who may want to go into the private sector. He can understand how to do it. And they came up with a manual. You know, you have online tutoring. You can call and you can ask questions. Your goal mind, when you're any investigator, is staying in contact with senior investigators. I've learned that. You want to call them. You want to say, hey, I got this. And they usually not going to give you the answer, but they'll point you in the right direction. They'll help you. They've been there before. They've already done it. Your case ain't the first case under the sun.
He got into this work because of his passion for service, and it's emotional work. But after a decade of experience, there's also a familiar pattern to the job.
Well, I might get off from work. I might get a call. And I might go and do a general intake with a family. It may be over the internet. It might be over the phone. They'll throw me some known locations with the person frequent. We'll go there. We'll set up surveillance because we're all creatures of habit. And we may head out. I might do some reverse phone checks. They may be getting calls from their loved one from a given number. And they may want me to find out what's the location. Where are they at? So we'll go and try to figure out where they are. We'll use social media to look at the background of where they took a picture at, and we'll try to figure out where they are, where they may be hanging out at. A lot of my work involves surveillance, because you got the lead detective, the sworn law enforcement officer. He's doing the heavy lifting in the office. I might go out there day to day, and I might just be sitting at a location, and I positively ID the missing person. They never see me or know anything about I'm there. I call 911, MPD patrol services come, contact the missing person. Either they'll bring them back in if they're under 18. If they're over 18, they'll notify the family the missing person has been located. So a lot of it is surveillance and light investigative work.
Henderson took us on a ride along through his patrol routine. My producer Jamie and I sat in his SUV as Henderson drove around the neighborhoods doing standard surveillance.
So we're just gonna ride there. And you know, you guys can take a look. This is every day what you're gonna see every single day. Sun up to sundown, this is what's going on in the community. And it's perpetuating our most severe cases, so.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pitbull, Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Henderson Long says the tasks can become routine, but every case is different. There are abductions, like the case of Relisha Rudd, an 8-year-old girl who went missing in 2014, and runaways, like Henderson's niece. On our ride-along, he talked about other cases he's worked on.
Right now, we're at 19th and Benning Road. Between 19th and Benning Road and 15th and Benning Road, it's kind of like an area where we have a lot of missing persons that we find in this area. There's a lot of drugs, a lot of heroin. I don't know whether you guys know about K2 and PCP. K2 is a drug that's killing a lot of people. And I know you probably know about PCP. It makes you hallucinate. And so it's a lot of the usage of that drug here. And that's prompting some of the missing persons cases. It's prompting some of the violent assaults, because sometimes they think things are happening that are not happening because they're hallucinating. Just the fact that they're out here unsupervised, it's a big can of worms. You never know, it's snake eyes. It could turn up snake eyes. And we find a young person either in jail or dead. I had another missing persons case, Dominique Franklin. He was murdered. He was missing and he was located. He went before the judge. The judge gave him some orders to do something. He said, screw the judge and screw everybody, and walked off. And a day later, he was found dead, shot in the head. He left on his own. Nobody targeted him, but at the end, he still wound up losing. He was 16. So Dominique Franklin is another case that I kind of worked in the end of it. The last part of it, I kind of got involved with it a little bit. But missing persons can lead to anything. It could turn up them getting arrested for something for the rest of their life, or them losing their life, or taking somebody else's life.
The discrepancy between the number of cases and the resources available to solve them mean many slip through the cracks. In episode 10, we talked about Relisha Rudd. She was missing for weeks before her case received any media attention, and she has still not been found. Henderson says publicity can bring children home safely.
Keeping the cases out there in the public's eye, educating them about it, that's what really sparked and put the pressure on the police to do something. Them families have to pressure the police, you know? They have to continue to press the police and anybody who can help publicize their case. That's what keep your case alive. I mean, you know, that's what keep these cases alive. That's why we the way we are with Relisha Rudd, because we don't want the community to go to sleep on it. People will forget about this stuff. If you don't say nothing, you don't keep making noise about it, they'll forget. They will forget.
There's a big question that hangs over Henderson's work. What issues in the community are contributing to the more than 2,000 cases of missing children each year in D.C.? Why do so many cases slip through the cracks, and how can we begin to solve the socioeconomic issues at play?
You do have people who've become victim of their circumstance, whatever's around them. If it's drugs, if it was domestic violence in the home, if it was poverty in general, because poverty is our motivating factor here. When we start talking about these issues, the mayor of Washington, D.C. formed a task force, and we was examining, and we started looking at missing persons, and we started looking at solutions, and we couldn't find a cookie cutter one fits all, because we realized, man, you talking about a great big social issue. The family structure is the number one precursor. And what drives that? Generational wealth gaps. Shoot, domestic violence in the home. Maybe the new boyfriend is touching the daughter, or maybe the new boyfriend is hitting the mother, or maybe it's lack of affordable housing. We got 80 people living in one home. Somebody going out of there, and usually it's the kids. It's a lot of stress. You know, we don't have a lot of hardcore solutions and real outreach in terms of services for mental health. You know, so you see crazy cases, you get out here like Alicia, and you start wondering, how could the mama do this? And how, when you look at the family.
Henderson says sometimes kids run away from home because something drives them away. Domestic violence, poverty, drug use. Sometimes they're lured away by predators like the freeway phantom. But he says, no matter the reason why they left home, all missing persons cases need to be treated with the same level of seriousness.
Sometimes it's a lot of coercion. You know, sometimes it's a lot of dynamics within the person walking out the door on their own. Just because they left on their own, I got another case for you, Jolie Musa from Virginia. Voluntarily walked out of her home to go meet a young man and never returned. Now, just because she voluntarily left, we don't need to downplay her case and think that she's a runaway. See, because at that point, when you do that, a lot of the action that's supposed to be taken isn't taken. Now, had we started looking for her sooner, could we have found her alive and maybe saved her? We'll never know.
One solution begins at home. It's staying in touch with our communities.
When someone goes missing, especially a child, is chaos. You don't know how to put your left shoe on from the right. You, some things you think you will remember, you won't remember. We should know our patterns, our loved ones' patterns. We should check up on them. You know, we shouldn't be so distant. And you know, the technology now, the phones and everybody emailing. You know, you got to give people a call and see, you know, just how they're doing. I got the older sister, and, you know, she called me and let me know she home, you know, and stuff like that. So we got to check on each other. We have to take care of each other in the communities and our families. This is important because we have some cases where the missing person wasn't reported missing for all. They were last seen 1 year ago. By the families being so estranged. Time is of the essence in a missing persons case. Getting that report in and getting the investigation going early, the trace going.
When we attended one of Henderson's community outreach events in Southeast DC, he laid out the Metropolitan Police Department's 5 steps to prepare you in the event your loved one goes missing.
The biggest problem we're having in the District of Columbia, they're not being reported in a timely manner. So much time elapsed. The case of Karan Jones, it was 2 days. The dumpster was gone on to China. So that's the first step, is just reporting them.
In episode 9, we mentioned the case of Kion Jones, a 2-month-old whose mother confessed that she rolled over on Kion and he stopped breathing. She later placed his body in a dumpster. Kion's remains were sadly never recovered.
What we're trying to do is trying to get people to understand. Call for help, call the police. Because see, now if the medical examiner had came out and examined his body and realized there was no trauma to the body, everything jived up, it would have just been an accident. But by him being thrown into a dumpster, they never been able to find him to do any kind of examination or determine anything with any kind of medical certainty. It just looks suspicious. And then you give us 80, 90 different stories and we don't know what to believe. Then, you know, you throw a little bit of substance abuse in there and, you know, the social things in there, and you got some stuff.
As for Henderson's future in this line of work, he told us he's looking to transition into doing it full time.
Well, I always had a vision that D.C. will lead the country and take the leadership role on missing persons that it should. We're going to continue to work and work and work and never be complacent about missing persons and what more we can do to locate missing persons quickly. You know, we can never rest. You can never rest on this stuff. It's never a situation of complacency. The more you go through it, you learn. Because every single case got a different twist in it, which requires a certain level of readiness. So talking about all these different things and implementing all these different tools that we can use, it's so much work to be done. But I'm hoping that DC will continue on. I'm gonna keep pushing legislators to get legislation, going back to initial investigations, obstruction, lying to investigators. I think that there should be a penalty for that. If we find out you're lying or you don't provide correct information. And in Washington, D.C., there's really no penalty for that. Like in Maryland, if your child is missing and they under the age of 18 or 13, you better be reporting them within 24 hours. If they investigate and they find out you knew, and as a result of your negligence, the child suffers trauma, count on a felony. And here in D.C., they don't have that. So we hope in D.C. to step it up legislatively. We hoping they'll step it up from a law enforcement perspective and definitely the community. Community is huge, way bigger than law enforcement. Get the community involved and active in the use of the technology and the tools and stuff. Oh, we cooking with gas then. That's what I'm hoping.
We want to give special thanks to Henderson Long for all his work on the Freeway Phantom case and his support of this podcast. He's been instrumental in helping us tell the story of these young girls, both from the 1970s and today. Henderson's work in the community is vital. His organization, DC's Missing Voice, is an official 501c3 nonprofit. If you want to support the work he does, reach out at henderson.long22@icloud.com. Or you can find the DC's Missing Voice Facebook page and stay up to date on current missing persons cases.
Freeway Phantom is a production of iHeartRadio, Tenderfoot TV, and Black Bar Mitzvah. Our host is Celeste Hidley. This episode was written and produced by Noemi Griffin. The show is written by Trevor Young, Jamie Albright, and Celeste Hidley. Executive producers on behalf of iHeartRadio include Matt Frederick and Alex Williams, with supervising producer Trevor Young. Executive producers on behalf of Tenderfoot TV include Donald Albright and Payne Lindsay, with producers Jamie Albright and Tracy Kaplan. Executive producers on behalf of Black Bar Mitzvah include myself, Jay Ellis, and Aaron Bergman, with producer Sydney Foos. Lead researcher is Jamie Albright. Artwork by Mr. Soul 216. Original music by Makeup and Vanity Set. Special thanks to the team at UTA, Beck Media and Marketing, and the Nord Group. Tenderfoot TV and iHeartMedia, as well as Black Bar Mitzvah, have increased the reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the Freeway Phantom murders. The previous reward of up to $150,000 offered by the Metropolitan Police Department has been matched. A new total reward of up to $300,000 is now being offered. If you have any information relating to these unsolved crimes, contact the Metropolitan Police Department at area code 202-727-9099. For more information, please visit freeway-phantom.com. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio and Tenderfoot TV, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks for listening.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.